What do you say, everybody? With Andrew Bone, I'm Mick Gillespie, and you are hanging with us tonight on the Bama Insider YouTube channel. Like and subscribe, man. That's all we ask of you. And if you feel compelled, we also ask for super chats. Get your question to the front of the line. We're going to talk with Andrew Bone today. He's going to give us all the breakdowns on Alabama's recruiting effort. Of course, Alabama defending recruiting champions. We'll bring on Tony Tsoukalos. He's the beat writer for Bama Insider, the Alabama rival site. He's been covering the Crimson Tide basketball team. Sweet 16 for the Crimson Tide. It's been a long time since Alabama's been in the Sweet 16, but they're there now. They rolled over the Terps of Maryland last night, and they're going to have to beat UCLA now to go to the Elite Eight. They've only been to the Elite Eight once, and they're going to try to duplicate that or even better. Tony's going to tell us that. And we're going to talk about NFL Pro Day that took place on campus with Tony. Then we'll talk with Kyle Henderson about Alabama football practice. Spring practice is in swing right now. There is so much stuff going on, and it's hard to believe it's March 20th, not April 20th, not May 20th, March 20th. And we got a whole plethora of things to talk about on the show tonight. But I bring on the guru of Alabama recruiting, Andrew Bone. Bone, we got Alabama here. You got Nick Saban up on the screen. This guy's the best in the business, just like you. And Alabama is piling up the five-star commitments, and they're trying to add to it.
Yeah, you know, this is certainly a kind of a slow time in recruiting. There's a lot of a lot of evaluations going on, a lot of a lot of conversations, a lot of FaceTime calls. I think a lot of people are just waiting to get to the summer, because it's certainly looking like we're going to get to the summer and be able to have visits again. Kids are going to be able to go to college campuses. They're going to be able to take official visits. They're going to be able to participate in camps. It's certainly looking like we're heading in that direction, and kids are already starting to set up official visits. Alabama hasn't really set anything up just yet. I think they're being a little bit more patient, just kind of waiting to see exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to be announced, before they really start planning these official visits or camps. But I think they're certainly going to I think behind the scenes they're certainly planning for stuff, but in terms of kids getting the official invitation to come to campus on a particular weekend, still hasn't been announced just yet. So we're waiting for that. But I think in terms of Alabama loading up on a bunch of commitments, I don't see it happening right now. Alabama has five commitments. This isn't going to be a monster recruiting class this year like we've seen in the past. Going to be a little bit lower numbers. Now, people keep asking me, well, what are the numbers going to be? Is it going to be, 25, 26? Is it going to be 20? TBD. Let's just kind of wait, get a little bit further in the year. Alabama's not going to sign 20. They're going to sign over 20 guys. Will it be around 25? Probably so. I don't see them going in the 27, 28 route this year, but I think 25 or somewhere, around that number is probably going to be the case. And you look at the class right now, five commitments. May see a couple more drop before the summer, but at the same time, Alabama still wants to see a lot of these kids. They want to see these kids in person, and they're going to finally get that opportunity here in the next couple months. It doesn't matter what a kid's ranked on Rivals or whatever site you look at for your rankings right now, because let me tell you something, these rankings are going to change a lot. Just because a lot of these kids just haven't been seen, and they're going to finally be able to get seen throughout this spring, throughout this summer. So just kind of be patient. There may be a 5.5 3-star right now. That's the number one overall target on Alabama's big board. And there may be a 5-star who's the number one player at his position, who Alabama may not even be recruiting, but maybe that changes in a few months once they finally get their eyes on them. They've seen plenty of highlight films. They've seen workout videos and stuff like that. These kids still haven't really had a chance to sit down with Nick Saban in person and talk to him and let Coach Saban and the rest of the coaching staff size them up. And, also to that point, there's new coaches on the staff. So they want to get a chance to, really evaluate these kids in person and meet them and meet their families and, get a good feel of them. So I know people want commitments, and they see other schools loading up on commitments. And we saw this kind of last year with all these schools that were loading up on commitments, and Alabama only had, I think they had one commitment entering the month of April. We kept telling everybody, be patient. Their commitments are going to come. This year is a little different than it was last year because there were no camps. Everything was shut down. You know, COVID was just really, you know, amping up, unfortunately, throughout the country. Now it's starting to slow down a little bit. We're starting to see, you know, visits starting to take place or at least being scheduled. That's going to happen with Alabama before too long. So, you know, I just think that Alabama is going to, you know, take a little bit of a safer approach, not load up on commitments, just be patient. And, you know, commitments are going to happen. And the good thing is the majority of their targets, kind of like last year, haven't made decisions. They haven't even, most of them haven't even, you know, narrowed it down or you know, listed when they're going to make, you know, their commitments. I think most of them are just excited that they're finally going to be able to take visits because, unlike the previous class, the 2021 class, who, you know, got a chance to go to summer camps, who got a chance to go to, you know, the previous year, who got a chance to go to junior days before it all got shut down, most of these 2022 kids haven't seen college campuses yet. They haven't seen anything. So even the kids who are committed, we're probably going to see some commitments still take visits elsewhere. You may even see a commitment or two on Alabama's board, you know, take some visits, even though most of these guys are saying that they're 100% solid. You just never know how it may open up. Now, Alabama, you know, a little bit different because, you know, Alabama's the hottest team in the country and, you know, people want to play there. So you start taking visits, you may have a, you may end up losing your spot. And most of these guys who commit to Alabama, you know, they don't want to lose their spot. So we'll see how it goes the rest of the way, but I'm certainly expecting a very big summer. I know Alabama fans are extremely excited, or Alabama coaches are extremely excited about finally getting kids on campus again.
He's Andrew Bowen. I'm Mick Gillespie. Thumbs up and subscribe as you hang out with us tonight. It's a Tuesday night. We got a lot to talk about. This is really a kind of a combination, Monday night quarterback, and then, of course, Tuesday with Bowen. That's because Alabama basketball won last night. We didn't want to interrupt your Crimson Tide rolling as they beat Maryland, but we're talking recruiting right now. Let's get into a couple of guys who could be coming Alabama's way, and I'll start with Malachi Starks. He's announcing his decision on Thursday. He's got Alabama in his top three, Alabama, Georgia, or Clemson. Where's this guy going to end up?
I think he ends up at Clemson. He's got some family connections there. His uncle played there. I know a lot of his family, very partial to Clemson. Georgia's only about 30 minutes away from Jefferson, so about a 30-minute drive from Athens to Jefferson, Georgia. Alabama's in it. They've been in it for a while. You know, most people just assume it's a Georgia-Clemson recruiting battle, but he's been talking to Alabama still, led by the recruiting efforts of Charles Kelly. You know, they've had a great relationship. He's being recruited. He's listed as an athlete, but mainly recruited by Alabama as a safety. Yeah, I just don't think he's going to end up in Tuscaloosa. I think, you know, he's going to announce his decision this week on Thursday, I think around 4 p.m. Central. And I think it's going to end up being Clemson. So, you know, probably not, you know, a big surprise, and also probably not a big loss for Alabama, just because, you know, we saw what defensive backs Alabama signed in the previous class. And, you know, there's some big time guys that they're still going after in this 2022 class that I feel like they have a chance to land. So I wouldn't really read too much into it. I think he ends up going to, you know, one of those two schools, leaning more towards Clemson right now. But Alabama, I think they'll be just fine in the end.
Let's talk about another big-time target, Walter Nolan. Tell us about Walter Nolan, five-star out of Tennessee. Alabama's already got Ty Simpson to commit out of the Volunteer State. This guy's 6'5" and 300 pounds. He's a big dude, and he comes in as, what, the number three player nationally? I mean, this is a really big target.
Absolutely. You know, Alabama certainly has been in the mix for several elite defensive linemen throughout the years and have landed a lot of them, including, you know, Damon Payne in last year's recruiting class. It was the number two overall defensive tackle in the country. And, you know, now Walter Nolan, you know, big time player, obviously one of the top three overall players in the country, number one defensive tackle, and certainly somebody that Alabama would love to add. Now, I don't think he's going to make a decision anytime soon. I think he's going to kind of stretch it out, enjoy the process, because you know, I think he understands he's a big time player, and a lot of schools are certainly going after him and hoping to land his commitment. But some of the top schools early on in his recruitment include Alabama, LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia. He talks to a lot of different programs. So, he's certainly a big time target for Alabama. It's going to be interesting to see what Alabama does on the defensive front this year, because obviously Walter Nolan's a major target. There's two in-state kids that Alabama really likes a lot, and Curtis Perry out of Park Crossing in Montgomery, Justice Finkley out of Hewitt Trustful, who's going to be naming his top 12 schools this upcoming weekend. So those are two big in-state guys. You also have Marquise Graciel out of the St. Louis area, who's going to be announcing his decision in July. Probably going to take all five of his official visits during the summer, including one to Alabama. So those are some of the big boys that Alabama's going after on the interior defensive front that I feel like they're going to have a really good chance to potentially land. But in terms of decisions happening anytime soon, the only one that's currently set up, as I mentioned, Marquise Graciel announcing on, I believe, July the 29th. So most of these other guys probably going to stretch it out pretty far, or at least going to take some visits during the summer and get a good feel of these schools before they start narrowing it down a little bit more.
A couple five-stars out of Tennessee with Ty Simpson and Walter Nolan. There's been years where Tennessee hasn't had any five stars, and all of a sudden now two of the top players in the country are coming out of that state. Let's talk about some players that Alabama might be sending offers to, new offers, and kind of tie that in with offensive line. What are we looking at with the offensive line after the class that Alabama just signed?
Yeah, there's been a few offensive linemen who've picked up offers, from Alabama over the course of the last, month or so, 2 months. And a lot of these guys are starting to build relationships with new offensive line coach Doug Marrone. You also have, some guys that, Alabama just signed in this past class, considered probably, one of the best offensive line classes of all time. So it's a lot's going to depend on, are guys going to be scared of competition? Is Alabama going to be able to still sell the program, still sell, their spots on the offensive line that they're going to have to fill these voids? So I think Alabama is going to do, pretty well on the offensive line this year. They're really in on it with several guys, including Cam Dewberry, who's a five-star offensive lineman from Texas. Obviously, Alabama signed, had a great offensive line run in the state of Texas in last year's recruiting class, but Cam Dewberry didn't have Alabama really in his top group early on, and they've continued to kind of move up the list over the course of the last few, over the last month. They've really moved up to his list. Zach Rice, who's a five-star offensive lineman for Virginia, another guy, didn't have Alabama in his top eight back in November. Now, just a few days ago, now announced his top five. Alabama's in his top five. A lot of people think maybe North Carolina, Virginia, early front runners for him, but everybody keeps saying the guys on the west or on the east coast to cover that area, watch out for Alabama, because they're really putting a lot of pressure on him, and not in terms of making a decision, but in terms of just amping up that recruiting heat, trying to build that relationship and trying to make him feel wanted. They really want him as part of this recruiting class. So those are two five-star. Julian Armella out of Miami, certainly another guy that Alabama really likes a lot. Probably going to really stretch out his recruitment and enjoy this process. Elijah Pritchett is a big offensive tackle, 6'7", 290-pound tackle out of Georgia, Columbus, Georgia. Who I feel like Alabama has a outstanding chance to land a commitment from him. So he's certainly another guy to keep an eye on. And Jake Taylor. Jake Taylor is a offensive lineman out of Las Vegas who picked up an offer from Alabama about a month and a half ago. Had a top three of, I believe it was Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and USC. Ends up replacing Alabama with replace USC with Alabama, and really wants to get to Tuscaloosa as quickly as possible. So we're going to see a lot of these kids in Tuscaloosa this summer. A lot can change. The recruiting board can change. We may see some guys that get offers that, may not necessarily be a top target right now that could turn into a top target. And we see that every not last summer, but every summer before then, we've seen a lot of guys who really come in and stolen the spotlight and did really well. We saw that with a guy like Quinnen Williams, who committed to Auburn early in his recruitment. Alabama didn't offer him early, and he ends up coming to camp, performing really well, getting that offer, and then flipped his commitment. We saw that with Mac Jones. Mac Jones, a commitment to Kentucky. Of course, Tua had already committed to Alabama, but Mac still came in, worked out, got that offer. Alabama said, we want two quarterbacks, decided to flip his commitment from Kentucky to Alabama. So we see a lot of kids that end up, really moving up that recruiting board and really, showing out once they come to camp. Because like I said, coaches want to see these kids in person. That's what it's all about, seeing these kids in person. Last year, a little different. There was nothing you could really do about it. But this year, you're finally going to be able to see some kids in person and make some big decisions.
Anything else before we let you go tonight, Bone?
That's about it. I would encourage everybody to check out BamaInsider.com. If you're not on there right now, jump on there. I just dropped my recruiting thoughts of the week. If you have any questions, you can jump on BamaInsider.com and ask me. We got, you do a Q&A every single day on BamaInsider.com if you want to. You just got to, start up the thread and I'll answer any questions you have. But I think that's it. I mean, like I said, I don't really see any other major commitments happening right now. Never know. One may pop, but I would certainly stay tuned to Bama Insider and the recruiting board.
You can always read his work, the latest on Alabama recruiting, at BamaInsider.com. It's a great time to become a member, be part of really what's going on, whether it's the latest in recruiting or what's going on with the football team, now the basketball team. You can find all that, including Andrew Bone's work, at BamaInsider.com, the Alabama rival site. Thanks, Bone.
Thanks, Mick. You guys have a great show tonight.
We'll do our best, man. We got to bring Tony on now and talk basketball. So great to talk with Andrew Bone. As you guys hang out and as I pop Tony on here, let me remind you that the thing that we really want from you guys tonight, besides you being at home yelling Roll Tide, is give us a thumbs up, man. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to our channel. Be part of Bama Insider and our YouTube. We have over 50,000. I mean, we're starting to look forward now. Nick Saban's taught us that you don't want to celebrate too much in your victories. So 50,000 was a great win. But now we're looking ahead to 100,000. 100,000 subscribers here on YouTube. Subscribe if you're not already part of what we're doing. And we really appreciate you guys being with us here tonight. Normally, Tony, it's a Monday thing, right? It's Monday. We get together. We call it Monday Night Quarterback. Now we're like Monday Night Point Guard. Last night, we're going to talk some football. But last night, we got to start with basketball. And look, this was a hard one for me. I transferred as a college student from Baltimore. I went to Maryland. I was a Terp, and then I was Alabama. I've only not cheered for Maryland twice in basketball, both times when they played Alabama. So last night, it was – honestly, it was great. I mean, Alabama played a heck of a ball game. It's good to see John Petty back in the mix. Alabama could have beaten anyone the way they played last night, I thought.
Yeah, the message heading into this game was just to be patient and that the offense would come. And, I think guys like John Petty and even Jaden Shackelford, they were just saying, we're just going to keep on shooting and we trust our shot. Well, it fell against Maryland, definitely. The threes were falling, and this is Alabama basketball at its best, what it was that night. The defense actually was a little bit down from what it's been, but the offense this time was able to pick it up, which is normally, if you've been watching Alabama basketball, it's been the reverse. But look, if Alabama can get back to the defense that they had been playing and then keep up even any semblance of this offense from last night, I don't know of a team that can beat them. If they can do both those things, that's a big ask. But I mean, if you're looking at, I don't really see a team that can beat them if they're able to, put it all together like they're capable of.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, look, I thought Maryland just played a good basketball game to start. I mean, they came out like a house of fire, but Alabama just patiently waited for Maryland to cool off, and they never took their foot off the gas. I mean, it was kind of that performance that we've been waiting for. And you know, it was comforting to see John Petty, but the play right now of Quinterly, this guy has upped his game to the next level. I mean, he's become that superstar that we wondered if Alabama had. And I also need to say this as well. You know, I questioned the SEC, Tony. I questioned how good SEC basketball was. I fell into a trap, and I thought that the Big Ten was a dominant conference. I mean, look at all the teams that they got in, all the high seeds and everything else. I was wrong. They stink. The SEC's pretty good and maybe great. I mean, we'll find out. You got two teams that are in the Elite Eight and I think have the potential to get to the Final Four. And the Pac-12's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the Big Ten definitely took a hit in the tournament. It's hard to, you know, necessarily grade a conference on, you know, tournament play. It's kind of like grading a conference on bowl play a little bit. But no, that's big. It's a big hit to the Big Ten's, you know, reputation, at least this year in terms of their teams. But speaking of Alabama, though, I think, you know, they were battle tested. That, you know, they had played some tough games already. So I think that probably helped them out heading into this tournament.
Well, look, Wiggins for Maryland's a great player. I mean, he was what, 27 points in the game. And I mean, he single-handedly kept the Terps in it. I thought that it might be Ayala or Scott that would be that player. But for Alabama, I mean, the attack just never stopped. I mean, every time you turned around, it was someone else doing something in the game. Shackelford had 21 points. Petty had an excellent bounce back game with 20 points. But, you know, like just Quinterly and what he's doing right now, coming off the bench with 14 points, he's like watching the Devontae Smith of basketball. He's just so fast. Like, it just doesn't seem like anyone's able to, like, keep him from the basket.
Yeah, and he's smooth, and he's a great distributor. That's the biggest thing. He can really pass the ball. I think it was nine assists in the first half. I mean, you put him in and he instantly generates offense, whether it be through passing to an open guy or, you know, making a sweet move to the lane and just with a layup. I mean, he's a really fun player to watch. And, you know, there's been some talk, you know, of fans kind of wanting him, maybe the fans that don't watch as much Alabama basketball, wanting him to start. But he really does well in this role off the bench, and I think it's just perfectly suited for him. He's able to kind of come in there and just attack. Probably allows him to see the game a little bit better as well. Thrived. I mean, but like not only him. I mean, all of Alabama's bench. Look, Alex Reese is hitting threes. He had two big ones against Iona. He had three more threes against Maryland. So if Alex Reese is hitting threes, I mean, this is a whole nother layer for Alabama's offense, and so that's encouraging to see. Look, Alabama went on, you know, its big run to kind of retake control of the game after Herb Jones picked up his second foul with about 13 minutes in the first half. You know, Alabama was down by six. They went on, I think, what is it, 19-3, 19-4 run, and that happened with Herbert Jones, you know, SEC Player of the Year, on the bench. So then obviously they were able to make another run in the second half with John Petty and Jaden Shackelford, you know, ran in some threes and things got really exciting. And then it became a blowout. But the fact that Alabama was able to retake control of the game without its best player on the court is really telling of the depth that it has.
How's your bracket looking?
Oh, it's terrible. It's absolutely garbage. It's been garbage. I had Illinois winning, so if that tells – if that tells anything.
Should have picked Bama like the rest of us.
Probably so.
Who's leading? Who's leading the basketball right now? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
You don't want to know.
I haven't looked since Illinois lost, to be honest.
No, it's me.
Oh, is it really?
Nice. Yeah. Hey, look, no. I got to tell you, man, like half of my bracket stinks and the other half's like just on fire right now. So I have the entire side that Alabama's on. I haven't missed a game yet. So I had Alabama against UCLA. This is going to be a good matchup. It's really going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, it seems like Alabama's gotten somewhat of a weird matchup every single time. You know, it's been a quote unquote easy run in terms of seeding, but you know, Alabama had to play a 15 seed that had Rick Pitino as the coach. Then they had to play, you know, generally Maryland's a good basketball school, right? I mean, so then they had to play a Maryland team. And then now they're playing a blue blood in UCLA, albeit an 11 seed, but one that's playing really well. I mean, this, remember this UCLA team had to win a game to get into the tournament, or they had to play that play-in game. So this will be their fourth game in the tournament. They seem to be rolling. They've got some talent on that team. It's interesting. You know, Jaden Shackelford, Alabama's leading scorer, California kid, grew up rooting for UCLA. So this is obviously going to be a special matchup for him as well.
Well, that's coming up on Sunday. Sunday night, it'll be Alabama against UCLA. So they win that, they'll go back to the Elite Eight for only the second time in school history. It's hard to look past that. I mean, UCLA has all of those talented players, blue chip basketball. It's a basketball school with a ton of tradition. I mean, they're like the Alabama of basketball, right? I mean, they won like 10 straight national championships at one time with John Wooden as head coach. They're just good. And they're a lot like Syracuse, where I don't care what their record is. I'm looking at the uniform and knowing the type of players and the coaching that they have. And Alabama's going to have to put together a similar effort. And Maryland's a great basketball school. I mean, look, they won the national championship in the past. Last year, they were the Big Ten champs. A lot of the players that were there returned, but they just got run off the floor by Alabama last night. He's Tony Tsoukalos. And I'm Mick Gillespie. Great to have you guys here as we talk to you on a Tuesday night. Thumbs up and subscribe as you hang out with us on Bama Insider, the Alabama rival site and Bama Insider YouTube. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, and some of you do that, tell your friends. Easy to download. Give us a 5-star. That's like saying Roll Tide to us when you put that 5-star rating down. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them. Make sure that you do that and you know, we'll hang out with you. All right, let's switch gears. Everybody wants to talk about football. There's Mac Jones. Today was Pro Day in the Crisp Center, and Alabama's got some guys that we're expecting right now, Tony, to get to the NFL. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a big day. I think the two biggest names out of the day were Patrick Surtain and the guy running below, Mac Jones. You know, Mac Jones wasn't ever going to blow anyone away with his athleticism, but I think he did a decent job today of showing that he's, you know, he's not a bad athlete. He's not somebody that's just stone footed. He ran, you know, in the 4.7 range of the 40 yard dash. I think I might've seen somewhere that he ran a 4.69 or something like that. So, I mean, you know, he's did everything that, you know, he needed to do on the day. He wasn't the most happy with his throwing session, but I, you know, looking at it, it seemed like he was moving fine. He was able to make the throws. He didn't have his A-plus receivers either. You know, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, they were unavailable, and so was Najee Harris. So he was throwing to Miller Forrestall and Carl Tucker and Slade Bolden and Xavier Williams. Nothing wrong with that bunch. It's just it's not his, you know, first-round talent that would have been probably – helped him flash his skills maybe a little bit more. But the thing I saw and I took from Mac Jones's, you know, throwing session was he went over the 50 throws he was going to because he wanted to show NFL teams just a little bit more. And I think that willingness to show that, that was key. It obviously shows he has the stamina and the arm strength and the ability to kind of maintain his deep ball, you know, after he gets a little bit fatigued. So that was big. And he was moving around on some rollouts. You saw a bunch of movement. He threw off platform. I mean, that's not his game, but to show that you can do it, I think is a big deal.
And I've heard over the years, I mean, Mel Kiper's talked about some of the greatest and some of the worst pro days that players have ever had. And he said Peyton Manning's pro day was one of the worst that's ever been recorded. And obviously it turned out pretty good for Peyton Manning. What do you think that scouts and NFL executives take from these pro days?
I mean, look, I think that it gives them a chance to see, you know, how they do live, how they do under pressure. But I think, you know, when you talk to most of the analysts and most scouts, I think they'll tell you that teams generally get their evaluations based on the film that they watch from the season. You know, I think when you're looking at the pro day, you maybe, you know, you're picking apart some of the little things, you know, some of the, how does he interact with his receivers, or, you know, like if you have somebody and he looks great on film, but he can't put it together in person, you start wondering, well, is he, you know, is he going to be caught up in the moment? Is he, you know, can he not perform, you know, under pressure? Because look, these throwing sessions, I mean, Mac Jones knows there's a lot of money on the line. And I think that it's a big high pressure situation. So it shows how he performs in that kind of scenario. You're able to, you know, kind of see some things. Maybe, you know, if you were unsure about a certain aspect of his throw or, you know, his release, or you get to see it up close. But I think when you're making the hard part of the, you know, the real meat of the evaluation, it's going to come via the tape. And I think Mac Jones's tape is great from the past season.
Who else stood out to you for Alabama in the pro day today?
I mean, Patrick Surtain had a monster numbers. He ran like a 4.42 40. He was his vertical. I forget what, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he excelled across the board. And I think, you know, when you look at him, I think he might have made his case to be the top cornerback in the draft. You just look, it's between him and Fairley from Virginia Tech. And when you look at him, Fairley had that, the back issue. We don't really know what, you know, the extent of that. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a serious thing, but it certainly seems like the momentum has shifted to Surtain, especially after today. He's a big guy. He has size. I mean, I think you can see him lifting the bench press right now. He had 18 of those. He had the shirt off, and I mean, his abs had abs, Mick. I mean, he's a chiseled guy, you know, so he's definitely got the size and the, you know, and everything you want out of the cornerback position. And he just now has the numbers to back it up. Yeah. Look, if he's the number one cornerback taken, I don't see him slipping past Dallas at number 10. So I think, you know, Alabama, he might, you know, be Alabama's second, you know, who knows, a player off the board.
Mac Jones, Patrick Surtain, they're part of Pro Day today. That's Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. You just saw him on there for a second. What did he have to say about some of these Alabama players?
Yeah, he had good things to say about them. You know, he kind of said a lot of the same things that I've been saying about, you know, Mac Jones, you know, just now, just that, you know, he was able to kind of flash, you know, what he needed to show. He didn't blow anybody away with his athleticism, but he didn't need to. I think, you know, Mac Jones did what he had to do. And, you know, the other thing about today is Mac Jones also announced that he's going to go again at Alabama's next pro day next week. So I think that's a wise decision. That's something that Daniel Jeremiah said was a wise decision. It just gives him more eyes. You know, Daniel Jeremiah brought up the fact that, you know, teams are only allowed to send three people. So maybe they'll send a different person. And so that's more eyeballs from a team that gets to see Mac Jones. Also, you know, next week he'll get to work with Najee Harris and even maybe perhaps Jalen Waddle. And that should probably help him out a little bit as well. Obviously, Daniel Jeremiah was high on Patrick Surtain. I mean, everyone was high on Patrick Surtain today. He also had some good things to say about Alex Leatherwood, who also put up freakish numbers, you know, jumping higher and running faster than, you know, someone of his size should run and jump. The thing with Alex Leatherwood is, you know, is he going to stay at tackle or is he going to move to guard? And I think, you know, you can make a case either way. I think what Daniel Jeremiah said, that he sees him as a right tackle and he'd give him every chance to play tackle. But if he does end up going to guard, he's going to make a hell of a guard in the NFL as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, pro day at Alabama. And of course, Mac Jones looking to be a top 10 pick in the NFL at quarterback. Patrick Surtain, maybe the top cornerback. And then, you know, Najee's in there and Devontae Smith's in there. Alabama's going to have a lot of fun when we get to the part of the NFL draft when they start picking those Bama guys, because they could be hot and heavy. They could be gone quickly in the first round. And then you get to the second round. There's so much talent on last year's team. So it's going to be fun to kind of see where all these guys end up. Tony, what are you working on? Anything that people should check out?
Yeah. So I just put together a pro day takeaway on the site. So definitely make sure to check that out. We'll have all the coverage, like, you know, from the beginning of the segment about basketball. And then just continuing to cover Alabama's spring camp as well. So it's always busy on the site. So make sure to go over there and check that out.
All right. Well, he's Tony Tsoukalos. You can read his work at BamaInsider.com. He is our beat writer, and he does a great job. Also, folks, don't forget thumbs up and subscribe as you watch us on the Bama Insider YouTube channel. Tony, thanks so much, man.
Hey, man. Thanks.
All right. That's it for Tony. So Tony's out, and Kyle's in. Tag him in. Kyle, the managing editor of Bama Insider. Patiently waiting backstage for this opportunity to come on the show. No, it's not Monday Night Quarterback. And no, it's not the Bone Show. This is like a combination, and that's because of Alabama's basketball team disrupting our flow, Kyle. But you know what? We'll take it every single time when Alabama's, you know, dunking all over those teams in the tournament, trying to bring home the first national championship in hoops, and they got a chance to do that. But Alabama football has brought home a ton of national championships, including last year. Spring practice is in full swing. Give us an update, man. What is going on with the Crimson Tide?
Well, first of all, I mean, I love the format of the show. I mean, Bone with recruiting, Tony on the basketball front, talking about pro day, and then kind of wrapping up the back end, you know, hitting cleanup for the team, talking about spring football right now as Alabama has just wrapped up their second practice. They'll hold their third practice. I would assume probably indoor as well tomorrow because of the weather that's coming into Tuscaloosa. But overall, you know, I really like the intensity of where things are at right now. I'm hearing really good things out of camp. Everything is pretty closed off. You know, these still want to be somewhat in a bubble. But as you can see right here, Bill O'Brien is a new offensive coordinator for the team, working with the two quarterbacks right there. That is Bryce Young and Paul Tyson, who has changed his number from 15 to 17. And don't forget about Jalen Milrow, the new early enrollee. So I think overall, I think this spring period is going to provide a lot of opportunities for a lot of these younger players to step up. Especially at the wide receiver position, because I think that without John Mechie, he's still nursing an injury. You're going to have a lot of these other wide receivers, you know, be able to make a name for themselves. So I think that's kind of the major storyline going in is spring position battles, wide receiver, right tackle on the defensive side, who's going to step up at inside linebacker and at corner. So excited to talk football, excited to talk basketball. This is the championship school, as you know. I mean, if we had someone covering gymnastics, we could even talk about gymnastics.
Yeah. Congratulations to them. Like the old Sarah Patterson days, Dana Duckworth with an SEC championship. So congratulations to gymnastics. And for a long, long time, Alabama was dominant in gymnastics in Tuscaloosa. And you talk about a really fun event to go to, not to get sidetracked. Go to a gymnastics meet. It's not a match. It's a meet at Coleman Coliseum, which I feel like was built for gymnastics. It's the perfect gymnastics gym, and they just continue to find ways to make us a championship school. And also, how about Alabama women's basketball? They beat North Carolina. They take on Maryland tomorrow at noon, and we got the Alabama-Maryland matchup again. Maryland in women's basketball is number two, a two seed, and Alabama is a seven seed, right? So they'll match up tomorrow. Good luck to the women's team as they try to get to the Sweet 16. They haven't been in the tournament for 20-some years, you know, so to see them beat North Carolina handily, good for them. Roll Tide. All right, let's get back to football, Kyle. And for those of you that are hanging out and watching, thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. Do it. It's free. It's easy to do. And we love you for it. Please hit the thumbs up. All right, Kyle. I got a question about, you said there's two practices. We know that the 8A game is on the 17th of April. How do they, I know it's kind of off topic a little, but how do they space out these practices? They try to do it in a way where they stretch out the length instead of having them all in a row?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty simple. I mean, every single college team has 15 allotted practices, and then they're allowed the spring football game. So, you know, Alabama works like clockwork. So, you know, being here long enough to know, you know, Nick Saban likes to start right after that spring break period and then kind of work his schedule throughout the, you know, those couple weeks leading up to A-Day. So Alabama, along with the A-Day, they're going to have, I believe, there are two scrimmages as well. So those will be taking place on Saturday. And it'll provide a great opportunity because you'll be able to hear from Nick Saban right after those scrimmages. And I think we're all curious to find out how are these quarterbacks progressing during the springtime? Because, you know, the major storyline is always the quarterback, right? And this year with these two quarterbacks coming in, really all three have limited experience. So I want to see how these quarterbacks do in game situations. And I'm sure they do too. You know, situational periods. And, you know, there's plenty to talk about, but you're going to get a scrimmage here coming up soon. And they'll have practice again on Wednesday. You'll get an opportunity here from Nick Saban tomorrow night. And then again on Friday. So we'll keep you covered at BamaInsider.com. But long story short, you get 15 practices along with the spring game.
Right, and you just kind of stretch them out. You talked about Paul Tyson, now number 17, and Bryce Young, number 9. They're going to be battling for the quarterback spot. What are the battles, and you've kind of already mentioned that one, that you're keeping an eye on, the position battles in this camp?
I think, you know, I mean, in several of the videos, and I know a lot of people, you know, watch those videos, and we're really appreciative for the support that we get on this channel. I think the wide receiver position, absolutely, because I don't think you're going to see much of John Mechie this springtime. He's still nursing an injury that he had during the later part of the season. So this is going to provide opportunities for other wide receivers to really step up. I've seen good things from Dow Jones Bell, Trayshon Holden, new additions like Christian Leary and also Ja'Cory Brooks. I mean, Ja'Cory Brooks, I think, is an interesting wide receiver because he provides some length on the outside. Also, Jaleel Billingsley, I think it's going to, you know, this is a tight end who is certainly going to rise up and be somebody that can be, you know, maybe a Brevin Jordan or a Kyle Pitts in the future for Alabama. So I see we got a Florida Gator in the house and he's laughing. He's probably laughing at the score from the SEC championship game. So what's up, man? But anyways, you know, I think on the defensive side, you got to look at the inside linebacker position. I know everybody wants to see Henry Toa Toa join Alabama, but he's not even at Alabama. He, you know, so you have to look to the guys that are on board, and that's going to be Christian Harris, who was, you know, he started the last two seasons. You have Shane Lee, who started as a freshman at Alabama, and then you have Jalen Moody. And then at the corner position, look, is it going to be Jalen Armour Davis? Is it going to be Ja'Quincy McKinstry? Plenty to look forward to on that defensive side, but the defense absolutely locked and loaded.
He's Kyle Henderson. I'm Mick Gillespie. Great to have you with us here on the Bama Insider YouTube channel as we talk about Alabama athletics right now. The tide are rolling in so many different areas. For those of you that aren't familiar, Alabama won the national championship in football, won the national championship in recruiting. That before that, they won the SEC championship in football. Then in basketball, they won the regular season and the SEC title. Now they're in the Sweet 16 on top of gymnastics winning the SEC. And the best part about it, Kyle, is Alabama hasn't lost a game in a major sport to Auburn in a long time. They've like set the record for that. So yeah. There's a lot to be happy about right now. And we're in the middle of spring practice. Maybe the middle, but the beginning. It's kind of coming towards the middle. We're looking at the roster battles. Give me a player to keep an eye on.
Let's go on the defensive side. I mean, we've talked about, you know, a couple offensive players. We talked about the wide receiver position. What's up, Sean? We see you, man. We see Huntsville always in the house, and we appreciate you more than you know. I think Tim Smith on the defensive side of the ball. I think Amonkel Goodwin. I think these two players on the defensive line. The defensive line has so much talent, so much depth, a lot of experience working with second-year defensive line coach Freddie Roach, who was at Bama. So I love kind of the cohesiveness of that overall unit. I'll give you one more to watch on the offensive side of the ball. I think, he might not get, you know, many reps this springtime, but Trey Sanders, you know, I think it's remarkable. This young man was in a car accident, a major car accident. We saw him on crutches. We saw him in a wheelchair. And to think that he's even repping, he was repping right behind Brian Robinson. So Trey Sanders really eager to get back. And with him coming back, I mean, what a story, because he's dealt with some nagging injuries. His foot injury during his freshman year, and then he has a car accident. After he starts to find his rhythm, of course, you know, Killen Robinson back there as well. So many running backs, Alabama, running back you, wide receiver you, DB you, quarterback you, coach you, whatever you want to call it. They it seems to always have the best players at every single position. So as spring football continues, we will keep you posted at BamaInsider.com, and tons of spring coverage coming your way. But man, I cannot wait to see, you know, even B-Rob right here. I mean, this guy's coming back for his extra senior season. Think about that. He's played in 52 games already, coming back. I mean, monster season expected for B-Rob.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that gives Alabama some experience, a guy that's been around for a long time on offense where they're really looking at a lot of changeover from last year's offense that might have been the best Alabama's ever had. All right, Kyle, what do we have going on? BamaInsider.com right here on the Bama Insider YouTube channel. Anything cool going on that people need to check out?
Yeah, I mean, every single day, I mean, we have something coming your way right here on Bama Insider, whether that's video content or our written content. And I encourage everybody, if they want quality content, to go to BamaInsider.com and sign up for a subscription so they can get premium access. And look, you guys see the quality of the coverage. And I think that you guys deserve the best. You guys follow Alabama basketball. You guys follow Alabama football. And we really appreciate, you know, us for either you to subscribe right here on our YouTube channel or to subscribe back at BamaInsider.com. As you can see, there's a lot of moving parts, and we're always trying to provide you, you know, with something new. So I think that going forward throughout this week, remember, you got practice tomorrow, then you have Nick Saban in the evening time. So definitely turn on those subscriptions so you always know when we drop a Nick Saban press conference. And then later in the week, you got Alabama basketball taking on UCLA. That game will be Sunday evening. So, of course, we'll have you covered, you know, with some content leading up to that, as well as the Nate Oates press conference. So tons going on. Great time to be an Alabama fan. And we'll continue to keep you covered right here at Bama Insider.
All right, Kyle, before we bid everyone farewell, you got to give a what's up to JB Baker watching from Japan.
Wow. You know what? So, JB, what's up, man? I used to have a roommate when I lived in Washington, D.C. His name was Nobutaku Ito. He lived in Nagasaki, Japan, and I was really good friends with him. Still am, still connect with him. And, you know, I'm always, so look, I'll give you a little insight to Kyle Henderson. I'm always watching travel documentaries because I love to travel. I'm a traveling spirit. And I would love to get out to Japan. My mom has been out there. I would love to go out there. Huge sushi fan. I love sake. I love to enjoy myself. So, yeah, thank you very much for watching Japan. Don't tell us what happens tomorrow. We'll try to find out for ourselves. But other than that, man, you guys take it easy. And, you know, appreciate you guys watching from all over. It's amazing to see when someone's watching from like New Zealand or when someone's watching from Japan or when someone's watching from Germany. I mean, it's really cool to see kind of the you know, the depth of our subscriber base.
Well, we appreciate you guys no matter where you're watching from tonight and no matter who you're pulling for, even the Florida fan. Hey, there's always a spot for you here with us. We're going to talk Alabama football, what's going on with the Crimson Tide. Right now we're rolling with basketball, which really has just an incredible run going, this team in the Sweet 16, and a lot of hope that maybe they can stay hot and get to the Final Four for the first time in program history. Wouldn't that be really something? But Nate Oates and the guys are doing great. Subscribe. You can go back and watch this entire show, or you can listen to the podcast as well, Apple and Spotify, Bama Insider. He's Kyle Henderson, and for Andrew Bone and Tony Tsoukalos, I'm Mick Gillespie. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll be back at it again tomorrow with new content right here on Bama Insider, the YouTube channel. Until then, roll tide.